We need to never forget this. We come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise, and there should be joy as we come to worship the Lord together. And they were sought to do so with gladness. If you ever see the service of the Lord as we come together on Sunday as drudgery, something's very wrong. It is something that should be causing you to be rejoicing and praising him.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, today we continue our study on how the church is to worship.
Yes, Dave, we do. And what we're going to see today and in the next few broadcasts just might shake up your view of worship. So turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 12, and after a brief review, we'll be looking at verses 31 to 43.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Well, if you were to take a tour of different churches this morning, you would find many different worship styles. Often, worship is equated with music, and we'll see today that that's partially true. But you'll see many different types of worship, many types of worship services. By and large, you have two categories. You have for what some people would think would be the older generation with traditional worship, and then for the younger generation, it appears they have contemporary for the younger people. But what does that mean? That just means that each group chooses what music they like, you see? And what we're going to see is that's not what drives and should drive the music we have in the body of Christ. As we're going to see, our music and our worship should be driven by the truth of the Word of God and the God of the truth. And so today we're going to be looking at a passage that helps us understand from the Old Testament principles of corporate worship. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 12? And we have been studying the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to see through this dedication of the wall some principles that help us as a church, especially as a small church that's being planted out here in South Carolina, what principles, how things should be done regarding our worship, what should be behind the choices that we make as leaders for the church as we come together. Now, as we've studied the book of Nehemiah, we saw the first six chapters of the book were focused on the physical rebuilding of the walls in the context of the opposition that Satan through man brought forth. And God was gracious to bring about Nehemiah and show him favor with the king, and he was able to come and lead these Jews to rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates that had been burned down. And we see that although God had them there, there was difficulty. Satan tried to discourage them with stinging words, to try to give up on the work, to try to throw in the towel. It's too hard. We don't want to do it. They used stinging words. But Nehemiah prayed. He prayed very clearly, sharing the situation with the Lord that God would bring just retribution on the enemies, for they were doing a good work. We see that they're doing a good work. And then we saw another one of Satan's tactics through outright intimidation and fear. The bad guys were going to come attack and kill them. But Nehemiah prayed again, and they trusted the Lord, and they went to work defending themselves, having a sword in one hand, a trowel in the other, and worked for the Lord, trusting that he would fight for them. And then we saw that Satan tried to exploit internal sin within the camp, those who were using usury and sinning against the Lord with the people of Israel. Satan tried to exploit that also, but Nehemiah feared the Lord and did what was good. And it's interesting, you know, we also see that Satan tried to cause Nehemiah to fear and thus to sin. See, Satan wants us to get us to fear, and then when we fear, we sin, and we then ruin our testimony in front of people. And the Lord did not want that to happen. The Lord protected Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was protected and followed the Lord and trusted in him and feared him. And so we saw that within that there was opposition. And then we saw that within 52 days they completed the walls. The walls were complete. And yet Jerusalem was empty. It was uninhabited, basically. There was not many houses. And it was time for the people to move in. But yet we see in the context and flow of Nehemiah that they were not ready to go. They were not ready to come and inhabit it. They needed to have their spiritual walls rebuilt. And so in chapters 8 through 10, we have, in a portion of 11, we have the reality that they had the right heart and they called upon to have Ezra bring them the word of God. And Ezra did. We'll see him today. And they responded to the word of God. They responded and they obeyed the word of God. And they even had it taught to them by the Levites, all those who could understand. And then they came to an understanding that they had truly sinned and their fathers had sinned and that they were in the situation that they were in, having been exiles now back in the land, but under the Persians as slaves, that it was really their fault. That God was disciplining them. He's disciplining them for their father's actions and for their actions. And they then made a commitment to obey the Lord's word. We saw that with the leaders, and it went down to the people also. And the people also made a commitment to obey the Lord in areas where they had failed, such as their relationship to the unsaved Canaanites, such as their relationship to work and trusting the Lord, not doing things on the Sabbath, but trusting Him instead, such as their relationship to the house of the Lord, which they had forsaken concerning their financial contributions and their service to the Lord. And they committed to do what was right. And then we saw the pinnacle of their repentance in which everyone appeared to be willing to inhabit Jerusalem. So they drew lots to see who could do it. The whole country's not going to move there. So 1/10 came and moved there. And they praised God for those who had volunteered, who had willingly offered themselves to serve the Lord by living in Jerusalem. And then we came to chapter 12, which we're going to review today, which is really the beginning of the end of the book, where we have the dedication of the walls. And so with that in mind, turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 12, and we're going to begin our look at verse 31, but we'll review what we've seen. And I want to actually go back to read starting in verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. So the sons of the singers were assembled from the district around Jerusalem and from the villages of the Netophathites, from Beth Gilgal and from the fields of Geba and Azmatheth. For the singers had built themselves villages around Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. And now here's where our passage begins. Verse 31, then I had the leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall, and I appointed two great choirs, the first proceeding to the right on top of the wall towards the refuse gate. Hashaiah and half the leaders of Judah followed them, with Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the sons of the priests with trumpets, and Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, and the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Milkiah, the son of Zachor, the son of Asaph, and his kinsmen, Shemaiah, Azarel, Malalai, Gilalai, Ma'ai, Nethaniel, Judah, and Hananiah, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And Ezra the scribe went before them. And at the fountain gate, they went directly up the steps of the city of David by the stairway of the wall above the house of David to the water gate on the east. The second choir proceeded to the left, while I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the tower of the furnaces to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim, by the old gate, by the fish gate, the tower of Haniel, and the tower of the hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped at the gate of the guard. Then the two choirs took their stand in the house of God. So I did, and half of the officials with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Elienoi, Zechariah, and Hananiah, with the trumpets, and Maaseiah, and Shemaiah, and Eliezer, Uzi, and Jehohanan, Malchiah, Elam, and Ezer. And the singers sang with Chezriah, their leader. And on that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. Now that's where we're going to stop today, but I want to keep reading because this keeps going, and we got to remember it's all connected. I'm going to read. On that day, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes to gather them from the fields of the cities, the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who served. That's nice. For they performed the worship of their God and the service of purification together with the singers and the gatekeepers in accordance with the command of David and his son Solomon. For in the days of David and Asaph in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. And so all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah gave portions due the singers and the gatekeepers as each day required and set apart the consecrated portion for the Levites. And the Levites set apart the consecrated portion for the sons of Aaron. Chapter 13, verse 1. On that day they read. Now you notice there's these phrases, on that day, on that day. And so we have on that day they gave those tithes. They praised God for those who served. And then on that day, chapter 13, verse 1, they read aloud from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people. And there was found written in it that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God, because they did not meet the sons of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So it came about when they had heard the law, they excluded all foreigners from Israel. We're not going to see that today, but we're going to see later on that not only did they do what we're going to see today, but they also offered tithes, and they were joyously rejoicing over those who were serving in the ministry of worship. And then we see they heard the word of God, and they responded to the word of God. So with that in mind, we're going to see at the heart of our passage is the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Look back in verse 27. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the term dedication speaks of consecration. It's a setting apart to God. They're dedicating. They're saying, Lord, this wall is yours. You are the one that helped us. You helped us do it. It's all for you. Everything that happens, we pray that you would be behind it, that you would be in charge. You know, unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain, right? It's vain for the watchman to stay up. It's vain. It's vain to have walls to protect you unless God is in it, right? This is committed to you, Lord God. This is committed to you. And that's what this is about. But from this great ceremony of worship and committing, we gain great principles concerning our corporate worship. And again, this week, as I was studying, this passage for a long time, by the way, you know that, because each week it's going to be chapter 12, but we do something else, right? We keep going. We're getting through it now. There's been a lot in here, and it's really come to my heart that we have so much in the Psalms and in with David and other places concerning the corporate worship, even Old Testament corporate worship. And in the New Testament, we don't have a lot of references. We have some. And so it's assumed that we should understand. We should know the Psalms. We should know these truths. And they apply to what we see in the New Testament, as we will see, as the shadows are pointing to the reality, Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, we have a dedication. And so the wall's been completed. The people have been spiritually restored. And Nehemiah brings forth this celebration, which we can learn much from. Verse 27, backtracking here a little bit. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites from all their places to bring them to Jerusalem so that they might celebrate the dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving, and with songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. And this is at core of our passage today. It is about worship. It's about worship, as we're going to see. And they were sought out. These Levites were sought out, and they were sought out to do so with gladness, to celebrate with gladness. We need to never forget this. We come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise, and there should be joy as we come to worship the Lord together. And they were sought to do so with gladness. If you ever see the service of the Lord as we come together on Sunday as drudgery, something's very wrong. It is something that should be causing you to be rejoicing and praising him for coming to celebrate and worship him together, but also to serve him, those who serve in worship, as we're going to see. And so then, we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. They were to celebrate the dedication with gladness, and they were to have hymns of thanksgiving. And they were to have songs to the accompaniment of cymbals, harps, and lyres. This passage is about worship, as we will see, and it includes the Word of God being preached. It includes the sharing back of what God has given us. It includes many facets, as we're going to continue to see this time. Indeed, from verse 31 and on, we have, as we will see, two great choirs that are on the walls ending up in the temple. And along with them, we have singing mentioned eight times. We have hymns of thanksgiving to God mentioned twice, along with songs of praise. We have musical instruments mentioned five times. We have rejoicing or joy mentioned six times. We have all this mentioned. This is a celebration, a consecration, dedication. Well, it is immersed in the worship of God, and there are many principles we can gather from it. Now, you might remember last time we gathered from the first 26 verses why those lists were there, why they were going from the original group that came in exile and then to those who were there now. We see that each passage revealed that there were leaders in worship. There were those who were appointed to lead the people in the worship of the living God. And there were skilled servants. And that was a principle for us in our worship. There should be those who are skilled in certain areas. Now, that's given over to the Lord by faith, but they should be skilled. And there are those who lead in the context of worship. There are those who have duties. And we saw from the New Testament, in the context at least, certainly that elders should appoint those, and those who will stand before, those who will lead or rule or stand before the congregation. And that was 1 through 26. And then we saw in verses 27 to 29 that the worship service should be planned. There should be planning involved. It shouldn't be winging it. Indeed, the Levites and the singers were sought out to celebrate with hymns of thanksgiving and gladness and accompaniment. And they assembled. There was planning. There was pre-planning involved. They didn't wing it and say, how many Levites are out there? Come on up here. Let's sing now. How many people can play an instrument? Come on up here. Didn't happen there. They pre-planned it before this time where they had their celebration. And then lastly, we saw when we were together that the servants, the people, and the place are to be pure. That our worship needs to come from a cleansed heart. First and foremost, our hearts being cleansed through faith in Jesus Christ. And secondly, that we are walking in the terms of his ongoing cleansing by confessing sins. Indeed, we saw verse 30, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates, and the wall. This purification would be symbolic. And in the Old Testament, the priests would symbolically purify things with water. We see that in Numbers 31. This symbolic purification always pointed to one reality. We see in Numbers chapter 8, verse 21, the Levites too purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes. And Aaron presented them as a wave offering before the Lord. Aaron also made atonement for them to cleanse them. We know that these Old Testament sacrifices were symbolic. They were shadows that pointed to Jesus Christ. Now think about it. These Jews actually had Isaiah too. They knew that there would be a suffering servant. They knew that there would be one who would come, who the sins would be put on him, that he would die. We see that, Isaiah 50:53. And so we know that this happened through the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, through Jesus Christ. We know that we have cleansing through Jesus Christ, that God gave his son that he would purify us, a people for his own possession, that we would be cleansed of our sins. And we have that picture of cleansing. You think about it, you take a bath, you water, you're cleansing yourself. Well, the Spirit of God cleanses us when we trust in Jesus Christ because we are united to him and his work for us. The forgiveness of sins, the price is paid, and we are placed in the body of Christ and we are cleansed. Paul would tell the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6:11 that these believers were washed. They were sanctified. They're cleansed of their sin. And if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, your filthy sin has been cleansed. You have had a new conscience that has been cleansed, sprinkled clean, Hebrews chapter 10. And then we sin here and there because we're not glorified yet. And we need to be those who are continually confessing our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't you dare come to serve the Lord, especially, and worship him, or come to worship and not be cleansed of your sin. Yes, we mess up. Yes, we have bad attitudes. Yes, we sin. Confess it. have clean hearts and clean hands before the Lord and worship Him in purity. We worship Him in the Spirit and truth, His truth and by His Spirit. And so then, that's where we came to last week, and at this point we come to our passage where we gain another principle concerning our worship, that the worship needs to be organized. Indeed, Nehemiah organized the leaders into two great choirs, and they proceeded on the wall to the house of God. Notice what happens here. Verse 31, then I would be Nehemiah. Then I had the leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall, and I appointed two great choirs. Now, coming up on top of the wall, obviously the wall was big enough to walk on. We're going to see that. It's a big wall, okay? And it had been repaired 52 days. They're now dedicating it to the Lord. So everything has been prepared. The leaders have been organized. The singers and servants are ready. The place has been purified. And now Nehemiah leads them in an organized fashion on how they're going to do this. And notice he says he appointed two great choirs. This takes organization. This takes appointing, right? It means he appointed two great choirs. Here, and what's really interesting about this word choir, it's actually very interesting. The word choir, certainly from our perspective, is a group of people who sing, right? And you know, you have choir at church, and obviously we sing about the Lord, and then you have, you know, like school choirs or whatever, secular choirs that sing. Well, they're not really choirs. They call themselves choirs. That comes from a Christian background. The reality is this word choir literally means hymns of thanksgiving to God or thanksgiving to God. It speaks of those singing thanksgiving. It's really what is the root of the word choir, translated choir here, actually speaks of thanksgiving. We see that here. We see this Hebrew word translated choir, todah, at its core means thanksgiving or praise. And even the New King James, they translate it this way, two large thanksgiving choirs. Now that's not for November 25th. You know, this is two large choirs or groups of people that are singing thanksgivings to God. They're singing praises to God. That's what a choir does. A choir is about thanking and praising God in worship through song, okay? That's what a real choir is. And that's required to do that, right? Okay, well, this is what we see here. So he appoints two great choirs. And the first one, he says here, proceeding to the right on top of the wall towards the refuge gate. Now, I'm going to try to do this backwards so you can see this. But let's say you have the walls of Jerusalem like this, right? And on the bottom, over on this side, you have the refuge gate. On the top, you have the gates going into where the temple is, okay? Now, they're going to proceed to the right. First, think of someone at 7 o'clock, right? 7 o'clock and then going through 6 to the refuge gate around 5 o'clock, okay? Coming around, okay? Going to the right, okay? Coming up around this way, okay? That's the first group. Now, the other group is going to come around this way, okay? So here, we have the first one going on the wall towards the refuge gate. Now, that's the bottom. That's the farthest away from the temple. It's kind of interesting, the design of the city and the walls. You've got this refuge gate, and then you have Gehenna right outside that. And then you go up around the top, and you have the sheep gate and the other gate to where the temple is. You have the temple and the worship of God on one side. On the other side, you have all the refuge.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, would you summarize what we saw in review today?
Certainly, Dave. We saw in review that the worship service must be led and have skilled servants.
and it needs to be planned. And those servants are people who are to be pure, right with the Lord. And then we saw the worship service is to be organized. Now, again, we've just scratched the surface in our study, so make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.